You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. Now, my wife and I are away this week. Today is going to be a travel, let's see, no. Not a travel day for us. We traveled yesterday. so we're going to just enjoy spending some time with my family today, and then we will hit the road tomorrow and make our way back. I want you to know that on Sunday we have a special service that is taking place, the special gathering. It's a ministry here in Brevard County. Richard Stimson, a dear friend of mine, has been ministering to the special needs community here in Brevard County for longer than I've been here. And he is a dear, dear friend. Their choir travels around and sings in all sorts of churches. They have a Melbourne group that meets, a Titusville group that meets, a Merritt Island group that meets, and then they've got others throughout the state. And he travels around and does all of these different services, but they're not government supported or anything like that. It is a ministry, and he is very active, not only in their spiritual aspect, but also in their day-to-day activities. He and the entire special gathering is going to come this Sunday to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. They're going to be having their service with us at Merritt Assembly of God. And if you have never seen what ministry to that segment of society looks like, I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. Our congregation just loves them. Their choir practices at our church every week, and so we've got some people from our church that are part of the special gathering as far as the ministry itself, but we also have people from our church that work with this community day in and day out, Monday through Friday. And so it's going to be an exciting week. We want to encourage you to come and experience the presence of God. And this is going to be a little bit different than a typical church service that we might have typical mission service. They're going to be basically running the entire service. So would like to encourage you to come out and be a part of that. Also want to let you know about the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. Greg and his family have been working concrete issues in Brevard County for decades and decades. And they do great, great work. They have a great team that they have put together with all of the team members together. They've probably got over a century of experience. They've got the expertise. They know what they're doing. They have the experience. They've done what they know, and they have a great work ethic. That means that they do it with excellence. So give them a call, 321-536-5804, and let them put their skills to work on your project so it gets off to a great start, so it will look the way that it is supposed to when it is finished. 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. We are in Matthew chapter 7 today. We are talking about people have a responsibility to build their lives. You and I are given the raw material, and we've got to decide how we're going to build our life. What do we want it to look like in the future? And that's nobody else's responsibility other than you. And so as I was thinking about this before I came into the studio today, I was thinking of the expression that people are using now, and that is, look, I've got to be true to myself. I've got to be true to myself. And this is the thought that came to me. Well, which self are you going to be true to? Are you going to be true to yourself from when you were much younger and you couldn't help yourself because you couldn't help yourself? In order to be true to that self, you had to remain in a helpless condition. But thank God that He equipped you with the desire to develop and have motor skills so that you did not have to stay locked in that situation, which was your past. You did not have to stay locked in ignorance, so therefore you went to school so you could learn things. And so a lot of people want to say, well, I just want to stay true to what I was. And God says, I can make you more than you ever dreamed possible. See, God has a purpose for you, and He can take those curses of the enemy and He can transform them into blessings that will allow you to develop and become, to build your life the way that God wants it to be built. A lot of people say, well, I want to stay true to myself, and this is what my feelings are. And it is true. Every person has a physical body. There's a carnal nature. You have your mind, your will, your emotions, but you also have your spirit. And unfortunately, right now, there is a plague on specifically young people, but not exclusively young people. And that is you've just got to stay true to your physical situation and utilize that. No, whether it's noble or whether it's shameful behavior, use that because that's what you are. Well, I want you to know that in my decades of experience, I've seen a lot of people who lived for the moment, for the flesh, their pleasure, their mind, their emotions. Look, and bam, eventually that body began to show that you could not stay true to abusing that without it having a serious negative ramification. If you read in the Minor Prophets, there's a book by the prophet Hosea. Hosea was commanded by God to take for himself a wife, and she was an unfaithful wife. They had three kids, and each one of those kids had a name that was given to them that reflected the way that Israel treated God and how God was going to respond to Israel. And so Hosea's wife's name, she was a prostitute, which, her name is kind of a strange name for a woman in our society. Her name was Gomer, and Gomer would leave the man of God, leave her children, leave her family, leave everything that had been provided for, and she would go chasing after her lovers. And I would imagine, you know, that at one point in time she was quite beautiful. Over the years, as she did that from one to another, her physical body began to break down. And whenever you are no longer useful, you need to be moved out of the way. And so slavery was something that took place primarily from a financial bondage standpoint in ancient Israel and the surrounding communities. So if you were in debt, you were put into either debtor's prison or you were commissioned to work off your debt. Israel had laws that you could work that debt off. You'd work for 6 years, and the seventh year you were free to go. But very rarely did Israel live up to every obligation that was there in the Word of God. And so these people who had been more than happy to use Gomer for their purposes, as her looks deteriorated and probably some sickness and disease that came upon her, they said, look, we're just going to sell her to the highest bidder. And the only person who still saw value in Gomer, who was true to herself, you know, her emotions and her chasing after these fantasies, was the husband and the father of her children that said, look, I'm paying the price. I'm redeeming you, not as your master, but as your husband. And that is a great picture that God redeems us. God is our redeemer. He pays the price, because not to the devil. He doesn't pay. Listen, the devil's a thief. Thief don't get to hold God's people for ransom. The offended party in our sin life was we offended God, and that's where the debt has to be paid. And Jesus paid that debt for us. So, you know, if you're being true to yourself, please understand that unless you're being true to your spiritual self, that what's going to happen is if you can be bought, you can be sold. The only person that has no interest in selling you for a profit is Jesus. To him, you are the treasure. You are the pearl of great price. You are the one who is worth everything, even his life, to make sure that you are reconciled. What I want to present to you today is that the ultimate being true to yourself doesn't have anything to do with your past, doesn't have to do with your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your finances, but you were created by God on purpose for a purpose that he had for you before the foundation of the world. The ultimate responsibility that we are to be true to is to be true to the calling, the purpose that God has for us, not just now, but in the future. He's the God who was, who is, and is to come. He knows where he is taking you. There have been some serious, painful bumps in the road in my life journey. What I didn't know was all of those twists and turns and highs and lows, the setbacks and the setups and the advancements. I didn't know at the time that God was orchestrating each of those to get me to the place where I could fulfill the purpose that God has for me. The purpose that God, let me let me tell you, when I was less than nine, I thought it was nine, and then my children's church teacher told me before she passed away, no, you were talking about being a pastor long before nine. Part of my purpose is to be a pastor. That is part of what I do. It's who I am. I don't just pastor people who attend the congregation. I pastor people who listen to the radio program. I pastor people who I have conversations with throughout the community. I even have people from my past that I don't have any interaction with anymore, but I'm still their pastor. They call me when the storms of life happen. But when I was a youth pastor and I said, you know, God, I'll do this, but this isn't what I'm called to do. This is not even really what I'm good at. But it was bringing me into alignment to where that's where I met my wife. And you know, she is a great asset to the ministry. Don't know how I would have ever been able to do everything that I've done without her. She's tremendously gifted. But during that season, before we got married, I was at a camp. The camp was designed to be discipled and to grow in your relationship with God. And that's where I received the greatest insight into the ministry that God had given me. And that was, he was calling me to places that other people did not see any value in, that they had fallen into disrepair, and that I was being called to restore value into those places and situations. So I've done that with houses. I've done that with the church. That's what I'm called to do. That's my purpose. So my goal is to stay true to the purpose that God created me for. And that means I've got to place my past under the blood of Jesus Christ. That means I've got to place my mind, my will, my emotions, my finances, all of those things live underneath. They do not sit up on the throne of my life. They live underneath the throne room of my relationship with Jesus Christ, because those things are tools to help me fulfill my purpose. They do not get to distract me or get me to detour from my purpose. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on that rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I want to talk to you about the attacks that you are going to have that are going to come like rain falling today. When I got out of college, I ended up going back home for several months until I was able to find a job. And I'm thankful. I got a job that I hadn't even applied for. Somebody, someplace put in a word for me, and a pastor hired me. But prior to that, I was living back in my parents' house, which was a two-bedroom, one-bath house. There was five of us living there, and my stuff was out on the back porch. It was an enclosed back porch, but it was a distinct part of the house. It had been closed in. The cellar was back there because we didn't have running water or any of that sort of stuff. And so that's where my belongings were. And one day it rained, and I walked out onto the back porch, and there all a lot of my stuff was, and it was getting ruined because the rain was descending. Okay? You were created to have a covering in your life. Jesus wants to be your shelter, your sanctuary, your refuge, your shade, your protection from the things in life that would come and try and beat you down. That was not the only time I ever encountered a leaking roof. But I tell you what I did. I knew absolutely nothing about a leaking roof. What I did know was that in order for that problem to be solved, the roof had to be repaired. And so my dad had a ladder. We lived right next door to my grandfather. And I crawled up onto the roof and I began to tear the shingles off. And when I began to say, you know what, I am no longer going to tolerate the elements trying to make entry into my house so that they can destroy my things, all of a sudden, there were a lot of people who knew what to do, and they said, we'd better get up there and help him. And my grandfather had built the house, so he knew exactly what to do. My dad, you know, he knew what to do and stuff like that. And so when I decided that the rain was not going to be allowed to destroy my stuff and my parents' house, all of a sudden people came and said, well, this is what we can do, and it will stop the water from coming in. And I don't believe they ever had to do anything else to that roof after that. I think those shingles lasted for the remainder of the time that house existed. It's now been torn down and a church owns that property. You are going to face some spiritual attacks. What I will tell you is that you cannot successfully handle spiritual attacks without the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living inside of your heart. I read a headline several weeks ago about a person who very famous, very powerful, and some things had happened in their house, and so they're Catholic, and so they called for the priest. They wanted the priest to come to the house and cast out the spirits that may be in there, demonic spirits that were wreaking havoc on their home, and their home had been the subject of news. And they said, would you pray and get the attacks to stop that are coming upon my house? Here's what I can tell you. Reciting words will not solve demon problems. Having somebody else won't come in and say a prayer, that's not going to solve the demon problems. If you look in the book of Acts, chapter 19, I believe it is, you're going to see that the seven sons of Sceva watched as Paul preached, heard what Paul preached, watched as he cast out devils. They went out and encountered a demon-possessed man, and they said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out. Well, they didn't have a relationship with Jesus. They weren't anchored to the cross. And the demon's response was this: Jesus I know, and Paul I know, who are you? And at that, he began to show them what happens when there is spiritual power that attacks against a person that has no anchor to the rock of Jesus Christ. They went out bleeding and wounded and beat up. God doesn't want that for you. You are going to face fiery darts. You are going to face the storms of life. The question is, will your covering be able to withstand the spiritual attacks or not? Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that God has given us the shield of faith that is able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. All of them. That's not faith in you. That is not faith in faith. That is faith in the Lord God. And so, believer, unbeliever, you are going to face spiritual attacks in your life, things that come from places that you wouldn't expect, and your home's going to have to be able, the things that you build, your life, it's going to have to be able to withstand the storm. But that can only take place when you have made the Lord God Almighty your shelter, your sanctuary, your refuge, and your fortress. And then you are going to find that if it's the sun that's beating down or the rain, the Bible says he makes the sun to shine down on the just and the unjust. I've been some places that it wasn't the rain that was so intense. It was the sun, and you were looking for some sort of covering. So one day I was playing golf on my birthday, and I got out in the midst. I was on the third hole. I hit my tee shot, and all of a sudden, a storm, an intense thunderstorm, lightning, all sorts of things came, and it was directly overhead. And whoever built that golf course had built a storm shelter right there on the third hole. This was down in Melbourne, off of Lake Washington. And during that storm, I was so thankful for that shelter. And I took up residence there to protect me from the lightning, from the rain, from the winds. And I was like, man, am I so glad this is here. If you have ever been vulnerable, you will be very thankful for the shelter. You and I, we've got to build our life. Make sure that you build your life where there is covering over you, that you are walking in the authority of God with the anointing of God to accomplish the purpose of God. And then no matter whether it's intense heat or whether it's intense rain, whatever comes against you, you are going to be able to stand up underneath that that attack. Now, if you're going through a spiritual attack, you need Jesus to speak to that into your life. God bless you. You have a great day. Pray for us as we're on the road today, or we'll be on the road tomorrow. Pray for us, and we'll pray for you. God bless you. See you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.